Good morning, everybody. It is 10 o'clock, time to begin our class. Please be finding your seat. As you can see on the screen, this is the Ezekiel class, in case anybody was wondering. We've got, counting today, we've got four more classes. Today we're going to talk about shepherds. Next week we're going to talk about the Valley of Dry Bones. That's a pretty cool one. And then the next week, we're going to talk about Gog and Magog, a mysterious topic. And then the last week, we'll be talking about the new temple and kind of the overall story of Ezekiel, kind of what's the takeaway from the whole book. So that's where we're at. We've got those four classes left. And let's pray, and we'll get started on the first of those. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for your word. We're grateful that you tell us so much about yourself, about ourselves, about your will for our lives, about how you care for us and how you want us to care for each other. Father, I pray that as we go through the scriptures today, that you will help me to present the scriptures in the way you want them presented. Father, I pray that you will help us to understand better your will for shepherds and your will for us and how we deal with each other. And Father, I pray that you will help us to see ourselves the way you see us and help us to be moved to do your will. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let me tell you a little bit about me and Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34 has been a near and dear passage to my heart for many years, at least over 20 years. It's been one of my favorite passages, favorite in various ways. There was a point in time when I was praying to God, send me a good shepherd, because I felt like I was being oppressed. Other times, 10 years ago when I was being asked, would I become a shepherd? And it's like, okay, let me understand what I'm getting into. Let me figure out whether or not this is something that I should commit to do, because it's a very sobering, it's a big responsibility and something I'll be held accountable for. So I wanted to understand it. So now today, we're presenting Ezekiel. And one of the things I really want us to do is to understand the role of shepherds. Who are the shepherds? What are we supposed to be doing? How are we supposed to be taking care of each other in the body of Christ? And so we're going to start out, unsurprisingly, in Ezekiel 34, verse 1. And we'll start right there. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not the shepherds take care of the flock? So let's, for a little bit of context here, of course, Ezekiel has preached doom to Jerusalem, and that doom has happened. Jerusalem has fallen. It's been destroyed at this point. But now it's like we're getting ready to move into what's next for God's people, okay, for the remnant of Israel that's now in Babylon. Ezekiel's in Babylon. He's talking to shepherds who are in Babylon. The shepherds that were in Jerusalem have been destroyed. Okay, so we're talking about shepherds in Babylon, okay? The ones that are going to come back. Basically, the people are going to be brought back to Jerusalem. And so he says, should not the shepherds take care of the flock? So, who is called a shepherd of Israel? Who is he talking to here? If you go through the Old Testament looking for different ways the word shepherd is used, of course, we're all familiar with Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. But he's not rebuking the Lord as his shepherd here. That's not who he's talking about. So who are the shepherds he's talking about? The king or the ruler is called a shepherd. David is called a shepherd in Psalm 78. A shepherd not just of sheep, but of God's people. In 2 Samuel 7, it refers to basically all the leaders of God's people in the past. Going back into the judges even, were considered shepherds. The priests were called shepherds. Psalm 77:20 talks about Aaron and Moses, by the way, as being shepherds of God's people. Prophets, Jeremiah himself considered himself a shepherd. He called himself a shepherd. The leaders in general, in Numbers 27, verses 16 to 17, and in Jeremiah 25, talks about the leaders of God's people being called shepherds. So it's kind of a generic term. It's the people God has placed there to take care of them. It could be the king of Israel. It could be even Cyrus. Remember King Cyrus, who's king of the Medo-Persian Empire, not even a Jew. And yet he was called a shepherd of God's people because God was using him to take care of his people and to send them back to rebuild Jerusalem. So that's who the shepherds are. Okay, but at this point in time, the shepherds in Israel at the time of Ezekiel were not doing the will of the Lord. Jeremiah talks about this, talking about some of the specific ones. He says in Jeremiah 6:13 says, "From the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike, all practice deceit." So their motives were all messed up. They were greedy. They were deceitful. They were not shepherding in the way God wanted. Micah chapter 3, verse 11. "Her leaders judge for a bribe. Her priests teach for a price. And her prophets tell fortunes for money. Yet they lean upon the Lord and say, 'Is not the Lord among us? No disaster will overcome upon us.'" And yet, so again, you know, some evil things going on among the leaders, the shepherds of Israel. So let's see what Ezekiel says about the Lord's complaint against the shepherds. Starting in Ezekiel 34, verse 3. It says, "You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them." You know, some pretty harsh things said here about the shepherds. The shepherds were just not doing the work that God put them there to do. And, you know, you think about it here. He says, you know, they were taking care of themselves, but not taking care of the flock. He wanted them to take care of the weak, the sick, the bound up. You know, the injured needed to be bound up. You know, he wanted to bring back strays, search for lost sheep, and not to do it in a harsh or brutal way. So those were the kinds of things God was rebuking them for. They fed themselves, but not the flock. Okay? They did not strengthen the weak, sick, and injured. They did not bring back the strays and search for the lost. They ruled harshly and brutally. They abandoned the scattered sheep to the wild animals. Sort of to sum it up, the sheep were wandering away. They were unhealthy. They were leaving the flock, and no one was looking for them. That was the problem. You know, the shepherds had allowed them to get to that state. They wandered away, and nobody went looking for them. Let's look at some things that the New Testament says about seeking of lost sheep. Matthew 18, starting verse 12. "What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost." Let's think about this for a minute. I'm going to challenge your thinking on some terminology here today, and I hope you'll open your minds and listen to what the Scriptures are saying and how it's using these terms. But he says here, a man owns 100 sheep. If one of them wanders off, he goes and finds it. This is the owner of the sheep. Who's the owner of the sheep? God. And it says, in the same way, your Father is not willing that any of them be lost, right? God wants that one sheep brought back. It's a big deal to God. Okay, he loves the 99, but he's concerned about that one. All right, we're going to see that kind of a pattern throughout the class today. But what else does he say? He says that's a lost sheep. What is a lost sheep? It's a sheep that was a part of the flock that wandered away and didn't know how to find his way back. He was lost. Okay? A lost sheep is someone who has wandered away. All right? Let's keep that in our minds. We're going to see that many different ways here. Matthew 15, verse 24. Jesus talking to the Canaanite woman who was coming to him, asking him to perform a miracle on behalf of her child, says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Jesus was sent on a mission of restoration, wasn't he? He was sent to bring the lost sheep of Israel back, okay? Once he rose from the dead, then he sent out the apostles to the nations, right? Go make disciples of all nations. But that was later. He was sent, his ministry was a ministry of restoration. He was sent to the lost sheep of Israel, people who had wandered away from the flock that needed to be brought back. Okay, that was his ministry. Okay, Matthew 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Just an illustration, another example of where that was what Jesus was focused on. Go bring back these lost sheep of Israel. Okay? That was his focus. It was a ministry of restoration. And yes, again, there was going to be the Great Commission to go out to the nations, but that came later. Restoration came first. Okay? It was first in the sequence of events. Searching for the strays. Let's look in Luke 19. Luke 19, starting in verse 9. This is, of course, talking about Zacchaeus. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Now, we just read that he was sent to the lost sheep of Israel, right? He's out looking for the lost sheep of Israel. And what does he say right here? This man has received salvation today because what? He too is a son of Abraham. He was going out bringing back the stray sheep who are the sons of Abraham, the descendants of Abraham, the Israelites. He was going to the lost sheep of Israel. And so Zacchaeus was an example of a straying Israelite, and bringing him back was seeking and saving the lost. Now, here's the terminology. We tend to think of, when we hear seeking and saving the lost, we're thinking of the Great Commission. We're thinking about going out to the nations. Okay? Jesus used that term to talk about bringing back stray sheep. Bringing back stray sheep is seeking and saving the lost. And if we're going to be about seeking and saving the lost, that has got to be a priority for us, is bringing back lost sheep. Because that's what he was talking about here. Okay. Matthew 24. We're going to come back. What I want you to do before I leave that part of the topic, I want you to notice as we go through Ezekiel later on in the class how many times he emphasizes bring back the lost, bring back the strays. You know, take care of those that have wandered off, that need to be brought back, need to be bound up, need to be healed. Matthew 24, starting in verse 45. Now we're moving on to what are some of the other complaints? And these are some of the things that Jesus had to say about those same kinds of issues. Who then, Matthew 24, starting in verse 45, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And he then begins to beat his fellow servants, to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay. God places one of the servants over the other servants. Basically gives him responsibility to take care of those other servants. He expects him to do it. He expects him to take good care of them. And we're going to look at, in a few minutes, the way that Jesus would take care of them. And that's the way that we need to take care of them. Okay. But this wicked servant did not do that. He did not provide food at the proper time. He beat the servants under his care. He pursued his own pleasure rather than caring for the fellow servants. Okay. And those are the kinds of things that the Lord was angry with the shepherds in Ezekiel's time. Back in Ezekiel, chapter 34, verse 10. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds. As a shepherd, I never want to hear that. Okay? I never want to hear that. I am against the shepherds, and I will hold them accountable for my flock. And again, shepherds will be held accountable for the flock. Okay? There's no escaping that. He says, I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. So, you know, these shepherds in Ezekiel's time, for them it was just a job. They were apparently being paid for their role. That was how they supported themselves and their family, basically. That was how they put food on the table. And the Lord was going to take that away. He doesn't want that kind of shepherd. That's not to say that shepherds can't be supported by the church. They certainly can be. We can see that other places. We won't look at that today. But the point is, they're willing. You're willing, with a willing heart, taking care of the sheep because you love the sheep like the Father loves the sheep, like the owner loves the sheep. The Lord himself will be the shepherd, Ezekiel 34:11. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep. See, there it is. He says, I'm going to go search for my sheep, okay, and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they are scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. He wants those sheep rescued, okay, a really big deal to God. He's going to rescue them from danger. There's a very similar passage to this. And, of course, as we've talked about in the past, Jeremiah is a contemporary prophet of Ezekiel. So they're talking about the same kind of situation. Jeremiah prophesied in Jerusalem, and Ezekiel prophesied in Babylon, but at the same time period, more or less. So in Jeremiah 23, verse 1, he's talking about a similar thing. It says, woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away, okay, there they are, they're being scattered, and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock, there he is again, going out for the strays, out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their pasture where they will be fruitful and increase in number. Continuing in verse 4, I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. Boy, do I wish we could say that. Yeah, nor will any be missing. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name that he will be called by, the Lord our righteousness. Okay, clear as it could be, that's Jesus he's talking about, right? This is in the times of Jesus. In the Christian church, there will be shepherds placed over them. And he says, nor will any be missing. You know, we've got some work to do. Okay, we need the help of the Lord, but we need to be busy about it ourselves. Okay, Ezekiel 34, verse 13. It says, I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in the settlements in the land. I will tend them in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. So he's going to bring them to a good place. They're going to be fed. They're going to be taken care of. They're going to have everything they need. They're going to be at peace. Okay, verse 15, I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost, once again, and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. There's a new thought. We have to look into that. But the sleek and strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. He's looking for justice for the weak. Yeah, and apparently the sleek and the strong were not giving justice to the weak. Okay, so that was a big deal. So here again, he says he's going to tend the sheep, which is basically he's going to feed the sheep. He's going to take care of all their physical needs. He's going to search for the lost and bring back strays. He's going to bind up the injured. He's going to strengthen the weak. He's going to bring the sleek and the strong to justice. All right, so those are the concerns that he had that were not being addressed by the shepherds at that time in Israel. Okay, and again, notice the focus on the needs of the weak, the injured, the lost. He's definitely wanting to take care of the lowly. Okay, John 10, verse 14. Looking at the good shepherd. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also." They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. So a couple of points here. One of them is, I lay down my life for the sheep. That's the job of a shepherd, to lay down his life for the sheep. It's what the good shepherd does and what he calls his shepherds that he appoints to do. And he says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. Who are those other sheep? That's the Gentiles, isn't it? It's the Gentiles. And so the Great Commission, we haven't left the Great Commission out of this, have we? It's just we need to not kind of gloss over the whole thing about bringing back the strays, because really that came first, didn't it? Okay, that's what, you know, when, you know, yeah, the Great Commission came out after Jesus rose from the dead. But again, they started even that in Jerusalem, didn't they? The first part of that was bringing back the strays, and then it was going out and bringing in the nations. Okay, Matthew 12, verse 20. Let's talk about the nature of this good shepherd. How did he deal with the people? Matthew 12, verse 20 says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out till he leads justice to victory. He's concerned about what's a bruised reed. Somebody who's hurting, somebody who maybe is at risk of dying, right? Somebody who is at risk of dying spiritually. Somebody who's not healthy, not strong, okay? A smoldering wick, somebody who hasn't given up, but there's just not a lot of fire there, right? There's not a lot left. They're kind of worn down. He's not going to snuff out that smoldering wick, but he's going to lead justice to victory. He's going to provide justice to the bruised reed, the smoldering wick. Okay, that's what the good shepherd does. Okay, Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay. Jesus, it's safe to come to Jesus. Amen. Jesus draws the downtrodden to him. You know, it's not a scary thing to come to Jesus if you're in that state. When it's scary to face Jesus is when you're the sleek and the strong and you're mistreating the weak. That's when it's scary to come to Jesus. Okay, but when you're the downtrodden and you want to come back, let me say this. This isn't exactly where I'd planned to say this, but I'm going to say it now. There may be some people here today who are thinking, you know, I would like to come back. I've thought about coming back, but I don't know if I can. Let me tell you, you can. Amen. It's safe. You can come. We will help you. Amen. We will walk you through the process. We will help you to get back, to be fully taken care of, to be bound up the wounds. If you're in that situation, come see me. I'm retired. I have time. Come see me. I will help you. That's what I'm here for. That's why I retired. Okay. This Ezekiel 34 is why I retired. Okay. So come. We will help. Amen. And Luke 19:10. Again, we saw this earlier. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. What does it feel like to be lost? Sherry reminded me of a time when we were on vacation. We were trying to get back to the airport. It was the day the flight was going to leave. And we got lost trying to find Pike's Peak. We were going to make a quick run to Pike's Peak on the way to the airport. It didn't turn out that way. We were lost. It doesn't feel good. You know where you need to be, but you don't know how to get there. You know, Jesus had compassion on people who were in that state spiritually. He was going to help you to get to the airport. Okay, he's going to get you there on time. You're going to make the flight. Okay, but, so that's what his seeking saving the lost is an act of compassion, and that needs to be our heart. Okay, Isaiah 61, this is a passage that Jesus quoted at the beginning of his ministry, but listen to the heart here. Listen to what he's focused on. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. I mean, listen to the kind of people there that he's going to take care of. He's talking about the poor, the brokenhearted, the captives, the prisoners, and people who are mourning, grieving. And he says, they're going to become oaks of righteousness. You know, if you want to come back, you can become an oak of righteousness. You know, you can get there. You know, come take that first step. We would love to help you. That's what we're here for. John 21, verse 15 says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. What's he doing? He's appointing him as a shepherd, isn't he? He says, you need to feed my lambs. So Peter was a shepherd, right? Among other things. He was an apostle. But he had fallen away. We'll talk about that more in a few minutes. But he was being called back. And he says, feed my lambs. I want you to be a shepherd of my people. So let's look in 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, this is later on. This is Peter writing. He says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. So he's now an elder, okay? A witness of Christ's sufferings and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So, you know, here Peter is calling the other elders to follow that example. You know, and he says, you need to be overseers. What's an overseer? Someone who sees over, right? it's like a foreman or a supervisor supervisor comes from the same, you know, overseer, you know, supervisor, you know, it's the same thing. The idea is somebody who's responsible to make sure things are done the way they ought to be done, right? Basically, bottom line, that's what an elder is. He says, be shepherds. What's a shepherd? You know, we've been talking about that all day, right? I mean, we know what a shepherd is. It's someone who takes care of sheep. It's a great analogy or metaphor for somebody taking care of God's people. Okay, be a shepherd, overseers. It says willing, not greedy, eager to serve, not lording it over the flock. Okay, and we'll see again a little bit more about that in a few minutes. Okay, shepherds in the New Testament church. Continuing in Acts chapter 20, says from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. Okay, Paul's getting ready to leave. He's going to tell them, I'm not going to see you again. And so I want you to take care of the church. Now, who did he call for? He called for the elders, didn't he? Okay. Don't even know if there was an evangelist in Ephesus at this time, but he called for the elders. Okay. You know, of course, Paul was probably the evangelist in Ephesus at this time. He's getting ready to leave. He's leaving the congregation in the care of the elders. He says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. So, you know, the key point here is, aside from the fact that, you know, yes, the elders are also shepherds and overseers, but they were made that by who? By the Holy Spirit. You know, this is something God has appointed you to do. If you're an elder, if you're a shepherd, if you're an overseer, then, and you will be held accountable. I will be held accountable for this. This is why I spent so many hours, so many days in Ezekiel 34, back in 2003 when they were first appointing the elders. It's like, I want to make sure if I do this, that I'm going to know what I'm supposed to do and I'm going to carry out what I'm supposed to do. Okay. All right. So let's look in Philippians chapter 1 real quickly. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And who's he address it to? The saints, together with overseers and deacons. You know, at least at this point in time, it seems that the church in Philippi didn't have an evangelist, right? So we're going to be okay. You know, we're going to have a period of time where we don't have an evangelist. We're going to be okay. Okay, we have an example, a couple of examples potentially, with one we just talked about, of churches that were in that same situation. So, and of course, it's going to be a temporary thing. We want to, you know, we're working on that, and we'll be bringing you news as we have it. So, let's go on. The gentle spirit of a shepherd. Luke 22, verse 25, Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. Jesus isn't all about giving people titles and making them high and mighty. We're servants. Everybody in this room is a servant. Okay? We just have different ways that we've been assigned to serve. Okay? 1 John 3, verse 16. Again, talking about the spirit of a shepherd. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Jesus was a good shepherd. He laid down his life for the sheep. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And that's even not just the shepherds, right? This is addressed more generally than that, right? If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words and tongue, but with actions and in truth. I think the reason that God was concerned about the justice between the strong sheep and the weak sheep is this right here, at least in part, because they were not taking care of the needy. And hopefully we are doing that, but that's certainly our goal here. Okay, but the shepherds can't do everything by themselves, right? Okay, again, we see, we just read a passage that was more generic than that. But James 5:19 says, "My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins." You know, everybody in this room can be a co-worker in shepherding God's people. You can help somebody return who has wandered away. Somebody who has, is in the error of their way, you can help to bring them back. Anybody in this room can do that. Now, how do you do that? How many of you have a collection like this? Recognize that?
Yes.
Okay. The OCD people among you may have already noticed that I've got these in slightly out of order, but that's okay. Use your imagination. How could I use this collection that's back in my drawer somewhere to bring back straying sheep? Well, not everybody that was in the 2008 directory that's not there now is a straying sheep. Some of them have moved to other places. Some of them are going to other congregations. Some of them are straying sheep. Okay, but what you can do is you can look through there and remind yourself, who are these people I used to have a relationship with that I haven't seen in a while? Maybe the phone number is still good. I don't know. But maybe I can find them. Maybe they're on my Christmas card list. I don't know. Maybe there's a way you can find those people. And all you have to do is be a host, be a hostess. Find out if they're interested. And if they are, bring them to me. Bring them to us. Bring them to the shepherds. And we will find a way to help them. How did Jesus initiate Peter's restoration? Peter, we talked about Peter being restored. He had denied Jesus three times. He'd gone back to fishing. He was no longer, in his mind, doing what God had called him to do. But now in John 21, starting in verse 9, he told him, go throw your net on the other side. He brought this huge catch of fish, which reminded him of a miracle that he had seen earlier. Chapter 21, verse 9, when they had landed, they saw fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you've just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. So what did he do? He invited them to breakfast.
Yes.
Is there anybody in here who can't do that? I think we can all invite somebody to breakfast, can't we? Somebody who maybe is no longer doing what God called them to do. Invite them to breakfast. You can even ask them to bring some food, right? Yeah. Jesus asked Peter to bring some of the fish, right? You can ask them to bring some food. Come and let's just be a good host.
Yeah.
Find out if there's openness there to being restored. That's what Jesus did, and we can all do that. And once you've done that, if they're open, bring them to us. We'll take it from there, and we'll definitely take care of that. But now, how do you go about restoring somebody who has fallen away, or somebody who's out lost, who's wandering away around in places they ought not to be. Luke 6:31, let's start there. Do to others as you would have them do to you. All right? That applies everywhere you go. Certainly applies to restoring people to the Lord. Okay? Kindness and gentleness, we're going to see that all over the place. Galatians 6:1, the first part of the verse says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him how?
Gently.
All right? 2 Timothy 2, verse 25, the first part of the verse. Those who oppose him, this is written to Timothy the evangelist, right? Those who oppose him, he must instruct how? Gently instruct, okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:14, we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone, okay? You get the heart behind this? Okay, there's still warnings involved, but it's how you do it that makes all the difference.
Amen.
It's how you deliver it that makes all the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ezekiel 34. Let's go back to Ezekiel. This is an Ezekiel class. Okay, Ezekiel 34, starting verse 17, and here's he goes on to that next part. Remember, we said he was going to judge the weak, justice to the strong and the sleek.
Mm-hmm.
As for you, my flock. This is verse 17, 34, 17. As for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, and between rams and goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you also trample the rest of the pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied with your feet? What was happening here? You can imagine, some of the sleek and the strong, maybe the people who are, they've got it made, they've got their spiritual life together, they think, and they don't have time for the people who have troubles, the people who are struggling, people maybe who are sick, maybe who have, infirmities, maybe have difficulties in their life, life difficulties. I don't want to get involved with them, why don't you make sure that those people get some clean water too? Those people get some good green grass too. They were just not too concerned. There was no compassion towards the people that were not in as good of a place as they were. Okay. Verse 20. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away, I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. Okay. Obviously, you don't want Jesus to have to come in and referee where you've been mistreating the weak sheep, right? You want to be, like Jesus, have the heart that Jesus had towards these people. You can't deal harshly with the weak. Okay. Ezekiel 34, verse 23, I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Obviously, he's talking about Jesus, right? And so he's talking about the way it ought to be when Jesus is king, and when in the church, in the Christian church, I believe. Ezekiel 34, verse 25, he says, I will make a covenant of peace with them. A covenant of peace. He's bringing them into a covenant of peace. And rid the land of wild beasts, so they may live in the desert and sleep in the forests in safety. I will bless them in the places surrounding my hill. I will send down showers in season. There will be showers of blessing. The trees of the field will yield their fruit, and the ground will yield its crops. The people will be secure in their land. They will know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the hands of those who enslave them. God's heart towards the weak, towards those who have strayed away, who want to come back. Okay? He's going to bring them back and take great care of them. Verse 28. They will no longer be plundered by the nations, nor will the wild animals devour them. They will live in safety, and no one will make them afraid. I will provide for them a land renowned for its crops, and they will no longer be victims of famine in the land or bear the scorn of the nations. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them. And that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture. You, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture are people, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. So, what can we do? You know, we can go to our drawer and pull out those books. We can see where are those straying sheep. Help. Basically, this is an appeal to help find the people that we can bring back.
Amen.
Okay, God wants the lost us to seek and save the lost, the lost sheep of Israel, the wanderers, the strays, to bring them back. You know, and I pray that we will do that, and that we will make this a welcoming place for people to come back and be reconciled to God.
Amen.
Okay, that's your class for today. Please go get your kids, and we'll begin in 10 minutes.